This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 7th, episode 1712, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Is there anything better than a little Jared Rogerson in the morning? Come on now.
I think his wife thinks so.
Hopefully. Like, get out of here. Go back to work.
Go climb a mountain.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And it's going to be a great show. Glenn keeps bothering me going, should we or should we not? Should we or should we not talk about the Belmont Stakes? And I'm like, hello. It's the Belmont Stakes. Of course we talk about it, big jerk. So we will have a little bit of Belmont
coverage.
No, that
is not what I said. I said, do we care? There's a difference.
Well, okay, so yours was even more aggressive. I was trying to be nice.
Some people care about the Belmont this year.
Some people care. So, yes. So we will be talking a little bit about it. I also wanted to real quick just give you a brief adoption update because y'all are so kind to ask. stick with me here. It's a little up and down. Wednesday. On Monday afternoon, I got a letter in the mail saying that I was officially certified to adopt. So that is the state of Arizona that I've been dealing with for like 9 months, trying to get everything done and the court proceedings and everything. Basically, they had to come visit the house and they had two visits and they make sure you're decent people and get all your paperwork in line, and it took months and months and months. And so finally I got a letter in the mail.
Was Lucas naked in the street?
No, he was.
No, okay.
That's when he broke my cell phone, was when the guy was here checking our home out. And I'm like, let me see my phone, buddy. Hey, why is there a crack on the screen? Why is there a crack on the screen? And mind you, there's a guy in the house that is judging my parenting. Okay, this is like the worst time ever. This is that girl, right? So I'm like, why is there a crack on the screen? And Lucas looks right at me, loud as can be, goes, I bit it. I've had my new phone 3 days. I've had
it
3 days.
Do you think these guys have stories to tell at the office from their visits?
Oh my gosh. I just was like, well, that's disappointing, but thank you for being honest. All I can say, I wouldn't be like, you little jerk, what are you doing? I'm gonna choke you. I've had it 3 days. Well, honey, I appreciate you being honest, and that's really not a good thing. We won't do that again, will we? No, mommy. So that happened. So yes, I did finally get them to tell me that I am capable and allowed to adopt. And that was on Monday. And I was super excited. And I called the local agency because I have two agencies. I have an international agency, which is in Colorado, and they deal with the Ethiopia. And then I have a local agency here in Arizona. And that's who I'm dealing with now until I get this final letter and I send everything off to the agency, not international. So I called her
and
I was like,
domestic adoption. You're doing both angles at the same time.
No, you have to get certified in your state before you can send it off to the national government. And then it goes to Ethiopia. After this paperwork, I send a check of like a lot of money to Ethiopia. Okay. There's one like minor thing I have to do in the US, but pretty much I've given getting I mean, I had to get copies of my original birth certificate, my original marriage certificate, everything. I mean, and I've been fingerprinted twice. I was about to have to get fingerprinted again. Anyway, the point is, I call her and I'm like, we did it. Yay. Thank you so much for your help. And she calls me yesterday and she's like, you and your husband are adopting from Ethiopia, right? And I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, well, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but Ethiopia shut down adoptions. The government said they will not do it anymore.
What?
I'm like, that's what I said. I'm like, what? What do you mean? And if you go on to the websites and everything, the U.S. government is recommending that those are pursuing adoptions in Ethiopia just go somewhere else. They've just, the government has stopped it. They're like, no more adoptions to anywhere, really, not just America. So we are back at square one. Now, the frustrating part is that my international agency did not call me and tell me and was about to let me send off about $13,000 to them.
Whoa.
So I'm gonna have
disappointing, but I'm glad disappointing.
I'm glad the Arizona agency was pretty helpful. And I called the other agency and my worker was not in the office yesterday. She's on vacation, but I will be calling her today. She gets back and asking why nobody called me, because she told me on the phone, oh, it's fine. It's fine. I'm like, the U.S. government says to find somewhere else.
Are we firing that agency, by the way?
She said to me, I said, how come you guys 5 weeks ago, this happened 5 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
I go, how come 5 weeks ago you all didn't call me and tell me that this was a problem? She's like, well, we posted it on our Facebook page. I go, are you effing kidding me? I'm supposed to check on my adoption on your Facebook page? Well, we sent out emails too. I'm like, yeah, I'm not on that list. And I think that this would warrant a phone call. I said, you know what? I'll call Stephanie tomorrow. And if they don't give me my money back, because I am in thousands of dollars already to this organization to get this whole thing started. So if that is a slander, I will slander them. Not that anybody on here was going to internationally adopt, but you're in big trouble because I will write really negative reviews online. Really be angry.
Look out, yell.
No, I mean, you're a client that deserves at least a direct email, not a mass email.
Isn't that crazy? Like, yeah. Give me a dang phone call. Seriously? Like, hey, here's what we can offer you. We can redirect to another country. No, 6 weeks has gone by. I was about to send a check for $13,000. And that's the thing, is they're like, Ethiopia is still accepting applications. Because when you send in your application, you send in $13,000.
Is it the prince? The same guy that's in the email that's doing this.
I'm sure that's how he can give you all your money, is that he keeps taking it from people wanting to adopt. Now, just a little heart-wrenching fact. When they shut it down, this is going to hurt your heart. So just I'll get it out quick. There were people there to pick up their children.
And they couldn't?
Nope. So Chad's like, we got effed. He goes, but we didn't get effed nearly as bad as a lot of other people. And I'm like, yep. I don't even want to touch on how I would like burn that place down.
Oh yeah, you would have been in jail. You would have been in some Ethiopia prison rotting for the rest of your life.
I would be in Ethiopian prison. You're absolutely right. But I'm sorry. I'm here to pick up my child and you're saying I can't have it? We don't have words. You're about to have where I'm going to burn this place
American
to the ground.
American arrested in Ethiopia.
Right now. I ain't leaving. And they're like, okay, then we should.
Do you have to start all over with the paperwork, or is you pretty much switch gears now to a different country?
So I don't know what we're
going to
do.
I mean, the Arizona thing should still be good, right?
The Arizona thing is good. They have to do that. Everything was geared towards Ethiopia, of course. So for a small fee,
yeah, of course.
I don't even know how much I get to redirect everything to another situation.
Could you adopt? No, I'm not saying you're going to, but because you were approved in Arizona, could you adopt domestically now too?
So that's one of the things we're looking at. Is the Arizona is one state where you cannot adopt in the state of Arizona unless you're a foster parent. And that means that if you're a foster parent, they send you a child and then they can take it away. Now, there are children that are up for adoption. They're legally free and they're older, you know, so we were hoping to get like a 2, 3, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old. So we were hoping for somebody younger. So the free for adoption children typically either special needs or older.
Right.
So that's in Arizona. Now, what my new, because I'm clearly firing the international agency, the nice lady who called me to tell me, I said, what can I do? And she was telling me about what's called, and nobody's ever told me about this, interstate adoptions. And I don't have to be a foster parent to adopt out of other states. So we are going to look
adopt a baby
that.
In Florida, or a kid in Florida, rather.
A kid in Florida, yeah. Yes. But again, these are ones that are free for adoption. So it just opens up your search considerably. Mm. And potentially she's like, you know, we have relationships with people. And if there is a 2-year-old that becomes free, we could call you. But that it's just a lot harder to get something that was within the parameters, which is why we went international, because I cannot foster a kid and give it back. I just can't. And that's really the only way that
you
can
do that with
get a younger. No. We went to the orientation and we get in the car, we sit down this orientation like forever ago. And he goes, yeah, you can't do that.
No, no, all of us know.
So that's why we went international, because it's the easiest way to get the youngest child available without having to be a foster parent and give it back, because you can't be a foster parent for a 2-year-old in Florida. You know, you have right. to be, it has to be in the state. So the only way to get a younger child is to be a foster parent first. And again, there's no guarantee. I have a pile of stories people have told me about being a foster parent.
Yeah, you can't.
And they,
no, Jennifer's, no. Jennifer grew up with like 5 kids, foster kids in the house. So
really,
yep. But you can't do that. You're just not allowed. It's just not, it's not in the cards.
So the problem is that here is this, she's like, okay, well, we direct you to websites where there's, you know, photos of children and they're kind of like a bio, and I can't do it. It's like, it's, I'm going through these pictures. You have to go through these pictures online and look and go, that one's cute. I'll click on that one. And then you're like, no, it's awful. It is. And then, so I told the lady, I'm like, I can't do that. You're going to have to search for me and you're going to have to send me something that is within our realm of possibility. I was like, because it, to me, it's like you're adopting from the pound. It's horrible to see. And they're like, this is the only way we can really get these kids out. And I get it, but my heart hurts swiping right on any of them. You know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'll take that one. Okay. I'll take that one too. Okay. I'll take that one.
Maybe
okay,
this should be a Chad one. Project.
Yeah, exactly. It's so brutal. So anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know kind of what's going on with that. And thank you for everybody's keeps asking me. And so I just wanted to get you guys the information as soon as possible.
I'm sorry
so
to
nobody
hear
asked.
That, but, you know, they always say things happen for a reason. And thank God they happened when they did. You know,
yeah,
in your case.
Absolutely.
Those poor
in
people over there. Different case.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Well, we are going to, why don't we bypass Daily Winnies and go right to our first guest who is ready. We'll do Daily Winnies at the end of the show. What do you say we switch it around today?
That sounds great.
All right, we'll do Daily Winnies at the end of the show, but your first guest is ready.
All right, and we are here today to talk about something that is unfortunately something that I kind of had to deal with or I'm having to deal with, so I'm interested in learning about more. Here you go, bud. Here's my phone. Sorry, my 4-year-old has come in the room. So we're going to talk a little bit about DSLD, which is degenerative suspensory ligament disease. And we've got Terry, is it Burrell or Barrel?
Burrell.
Burrell. I had it. See, I had it right first. I should have just gone with it. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just said thank you for joining us.
I just wanted to quickly check you on the meaning of the initials on that disease. It is degenerative suspensory ligament desmitis.
Desmitis, thank you.
Desmitis, yeah, which simply means an inflammation. This name is not descriptive of what the disease really is. It's kind of an old tag that was put on it many years ago when people thought it was, in fact, a disease of suspensory ligament. We now know through our research that it's a systemic body-wide disease of all connective tissue.
Really?
But we're stuck with the old name. Our researchers tried to rename it, and this is kind of, you know, when you're a researcher, maybe you spend more time in the lab, and they came up with a name, ESPA, which stands for Equine Systemic Proteoglycan Accumulation.
Oh, that says exactly what it is.
That is exactly what it is, and it's really a much more accurate acronym, but we couldn't have it catch on with the public. They knew it the way they knew it, and we kind of gave up.
So gotcha.
That was gotcha. Just a quickie that we call it that, but it is, in fact, not a disease of the suspensory ligaments. That's just the primary visual manifestation that people know most commonly.
Well, tell everybody what it is.
What we have here, and I'm going to sort of dance as far away as I can from the science, but there are some big words here. We have a genetically based defect in a proteoglycan, which is a particular sugar chain. That specific proteoglycan is called Decorin. And it creates the mutated gene creates a hyperaccumulation of the Decorin in connective tissue throughout the horse. The cases vary enormously, and it makes it extremely difficult for people to have understood that these different manifestations are all part of the same disease. Because connective tissue through the horse's body is affected and proceeds at different rates in different animals, we can have one that goes blind because the connective tissue in the eyes is affected. We can have what we call false colics, when the lining to the organs go into an acute phase and they get severe gut pain. We can have horses who become very, very sensitive to touch because the fascia that holds the skin to the muscles is affected. What's most commonly known is a breakdown of the fetlocks so that they become far too flexy and eventually swollen and hardened. Almost, they look kind of like a sweet potato instead of the nice, clean fetlock look you should have. In that process, as the fetlocks begin to drop, the hocks begin to straighten, the hip line begins to straighten, and these horses can get what used to be called a hunter's bump, a raise in the spine right in front of the pelvic area, the croup.
Mm-hmm.
All the back end is losing its ability to hold itself in place because of the breakdown of the connective tissue in the tendons and ligaments. So either a front or a rear, usually bilaterally, eventually it would be quadrilaterally, all these suspensory elements begin to break down. Generally speaking, this is a really late presentation because those cables that hold the legs up are incredibly strong. So by the time that happens, usually the horse has internal effects that we aren't able to see visually. And that's why people get so stuck on the breakdown of the fetlocks.
It's a very obvious part of it, yeah.
Very obvious. It's a very painful disease, but another thing that kind of will fool people is that the disease classically has acute phases and passive phases. So the horse may be really struggling for quite a while, and then the disease will back off, and the horse seems to do better, and they don't lie down so much, and they begin to frolic around, and the person thinks, well, you know, I guess I was overreacting. But this is also classic. They can go into passive and acute phases.
So how do they get it?
The important thing that we do not yet have a DNA marker. And I would love a chance to quickly plug our researchers, because if we had more money, we'd get that marker sooner. Mm-hmm. But without a DNA marker, we cannot prove this, but it is very clear to anybody who studied it that it is passed genetically. One theory, and again, I'll not get too sciencey in this, but one theory is that, and a good theory, is that there can be multiple copies of the defective gene. So if a horse only inherits a couple of them, they may not show signs, but they probably won't live as long. And if it inherits a few more copies, and it can get these from either parent, then it will manifest more early and more severely, all the way from a very young animal. There was a very famous case of a thoroughbred filly named Hope, who was severely affected by the time she was a yearling. Or many horses that will start showing it around age 20, because according to this theory, they have fewer copies of the defective gene. So what happens inside the horse is this connective tissue, which should be very resilient, have a clear pattern under the microscope that's dense and tight, begins to have huge holes and lesions, and begins to do what looks like calcification. It's in fact sort of a massing of some of the connective tissue around the lesions.
Okay. So is there a cure? Is there a way to prevent the continuation of the disease taking over? Or just need
really
more money for research?
Question. Yes. And I think one of the most evil things about this disease is that it is so incredibly hard to predict. Because you might have full siblings who are different presentations, or perhaps one sibling actually, by the luck of the draw, doesn't inherit any of its parents' available defective genes. And then you have another one who happens to inherit a couple from each parent, because each parent could pass either zero or more copies. It's impossible to know who's clean, because somebody might break down at age 3, and another at age 10, and another at age 20. So it's been, excuse me, it's allergy season.
I got you, girl.
The breeders don't yet have the tools they need to make informed decisions. So the best they can do is look back through the lines of the horses. And I want to say, really important, this is associated more with a couple of breeds, but to our knowledge, either all or almost all breeds have this to one degree or another. It appears to be a very ancient mutation. But with modern breeding practices, with line breeding, with inbreeding, with what we call popular sire syndrome, these lines begin to get concentrated to the point where they begin to show up much and much more frequently. So in terms of prevention, we have to have a DNA marker. There really is nothing else. Otherwise, the breeders simply look for long-lived, sound ancestors and parents. In my case, I bought a 5-year-old horse. The stallion had recently been exported to Germany at age 20, and he was fine. The dam had since died, but she produced her last foal at age 23. Everything looked great. And my mirror manifested at about age 8.
Oh, man.
How do you know? So it's really devilish. And the only real answer is to continue the cellular and biochemical research, which is being done at University of Georgia, to provide enough information to the genetic researcher at Texas A&M to get a test. And then it's going to be a hard call, because it is in magnificent-looking horses who harbor this defective gene in there.
So real quick, what are some of the most, we got to run, we're running out of time, but what are the breeds that are kind of, it manifests most commonly in?
Most commonly, we have standard bred, Peruvian horses, quarter horses, Arabs, thoroughbred. I know these are sort of the big three or four and a couple others, but then I think it's less ignored in quarter horses and thoroughbreds. A lot of times you will hear people call it old mare syndrome. And people think because this mare's carried six or eight foals, that's what's caused her to break down. In fact, no, it's the genetic thing.
Right.
We have cases of many. And the other, well, that's the, I guess the main things that I wanted to say is all breeds, whole body disease, not a leg disease. Do I have a sec to give a couple of quick manifestations?
Sure, we got 1 minute.
Great amounts of loose skin is a key. People should look for that. The other thing is University of Georgia, Dr. Halper, H-A-L-P-E-R, working on a better diagnostic test, needs money. We really have been hampered because we are a relatively unknown equine disease instead of a big name human disease. Dr. Halper is doing fabulous work. She's the one who identified what this disease is. She's trying to get us a way to identify it in advance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, gosh, great job. You did great. It's been such a pleasure talking to you and letting us learn more about this and know that it's not just those back legs that get messed up. It's in the whole horse. So I think we all learned a lot.
Horse.
And if people have more questions, where can they get a hold of you?
There are two ways. There is a Facebook page, which is called DSLV. Oh, dear. Equine disease support or something like that. DSLD with a red horse logo on Facebook.
Okay. It's DSLD equine disease information and support. Got it. Okay.
Got it. On Yahoo groups, DSLD-equine has the best accumulation of knowledgeable people you will find anywhere. It also has a maintenance protocol, nutritional maintenance, that really helps the horses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are the two best ways to get info, and I personally can be reached through either of them.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us, Terry. We really appreciate it, and I hope that your horse is okay and you're able to manage it, and we hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much for spreading the word about this.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Yahoo Groups is still around? I know. Well, that's what I got out of that whole thing, right? But
you don't pay attention. Yeah. I know. I thought that too, but it's kind of like probably like the Chronicle forums. It's there to help people and answer questions. So
I just did. You know, I haven't heard that term. Yahoo Groups was like pre MySpace. I mean, it was...
Are you serious?
Yes. Okay. I mean, Yahoo Groups
didn't even
have been
really
around
know what
forever.
It was.
Yes. I mean, it was like pre MySpace. It was kind of like a forum, like Chronicle Forums, Yahoo Groups. I honest to God hadn't heard that. And what a terrible thing, because you don't know what's coming. You have no idea and no way to real predict it. You know, and it affects it in so many ways.
Scary ass things with horses. Just one of those dang things.
Well, and we're going to go from
now
one of those things to. to the next scary thing with horses. And I have to say that I love our guest that's coming up next, but I don't love today. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Glenn, can you say the word pus?
No, wait
can
a minute.
Can you say pus?
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts,
la,
with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
That bumper, it has never been more appropriate than today.
This is just as awesome as it gets when you're talking about. I hope you guys are sitting down having breakfast right now, because
I am.
This
I am leaving
is Glenn's
for a while.
Weight loss plan.
I am leaving for a while, and Jennifer's Glenn's taking waiting. Over. Yeah. Jennifer's going to lead this interview because Dr. Frazier, I love you, but I can't be here. I just can't do it. This goes beyond horse husband responsibilities here. This is way beyond anything I signed up for.
So, you know what? We'll make
there
sure Jennifer
is something about strangling.
Yeah. Jennifer, one of the real reasons for handing this off to Jennifer, she worked at a breeding barn with hundreds and hundreds of babies that had strangles all the time. So she actually has dealt with this probably a lot more than any of us has. So take away, Jennifer. I'm going outside and going to pet my pony. So
I know way more about the chemicals of equine snot than a person should. So, Dr. Frazier, well, I think what we should need to start out with is what strangles is. This whole thing was prompted by a discussion on our auditor's Facebook page because someone's barn had a horse with strangles in it, and it was treated as no big deal. And other people seem to think of strangles as a really big deal. So explain to us what strangles is and whether or not it should be a big deal.
Well, strangles is a bacterial infection by the organism called Streptococcus equi. And I personally think it is a big deal, but not necessarily for the reasons everybody thinks. Most horses that get strangles or strep equi infection do fine. They recover, they have no long-term effects, and it's no big deal in that sense. However, the problem is it's very, very contagious. So one horse with strangles in a barn can quickly spread to all the other horses, and that's when it does become a very big deal. Now, I say most horses do fine. Not always. There's certainly some pretty scary complications and results that can happen from it. But certainly our big worry is just how rapidly and how aggressively it can spread through a herd of animals. And it sounds like you've experienced that working in the barn that he was referring to.
In a big, big, big way. So it's a bacterial infection. How is it spread from horse to horse?
It is spread through those nasal secretions. So strangles like
snot.
To
spread snot.
Snot.
Go ahead.
It's spread through snot and pus.
La la la.
I thought you were gone.
The bacteria likes to live in lymph nodes, and that's how strangles gets the name. Is the bacteria often affects the lymph nodes around the throat, and as those lymph nodes get larger and larger, they can actually press down on the trachea and thus strangle the horse. And that is certainly a possibility. It's rare, but that's certainly something you want to watch for if you have a horse with strangles, is to make sure those lymph nodes are not pressing on the trachea and the throat and make sure your horse can breathe appropriately. But as those lymph nodes potentially rupture and start to drain, this is probably when you want to go pet the pony again, and that nasty pus starts draining out of those lymph nodes. That is where other horses can then get the bacteria. Also from the snot, the nasty pus pouring out of the nose, and that's where other horses can get the organism.
Now, is it called blind strangles? Because sometimes those pockets of pus don't appear on the lymph nodes on their throat. They can go elsewhere, can they not?
They can, and I've always heard it referred to as bastard strangles, and that's
oh, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, well,
first letter was right. There we go.
Well, I it could be. Some people may call it that. I'm not familiar with that, but that may be a name too. But that's
I'm sorry, we don't allow language like that on our show, Dr. Frazier. So sorry. Carry on.
Dear.
Talk like that, get haggard. You don't talk like that here.
Okay, well, so that's when, I'll just say the bee strangles, that's when the organism goes to other lymph nodes that are not where we typically expect it to go to, or other places in the body. Again, strangles likes to live in the lymph nodes around the respiratory system, around the throat. It likes to go to the guttural pouches up in the horse's head. But sometimes it'll go to the abdomen, lymph node in the abdomen, or some other spot. And that's what we refer to as the bastard strangles. And that certainly, that can be a long-term complication. Those abscesses can be in areas that cause a problem. They can be hard to access to get appropriate antibiotic levels to treat them. So those can be pretty tough.
So how might your average horse owner suspect and have need to call his vet, go, oh, my horse might have strangles?
Typical signs are going to be a fever, a cough, nasal discharge. Now, those are very common signs for many things. So certainly every time your horse coughs, every time you see a little nasal discharge, it's not strangles. But it should always kind of be in the back of your mind of, ooh, could this be, you know, did a new horse come into the barn? Was there a shuffling around of you know, where horses were living on the farm? Has your horse traveled to a show, you know, someplace, some incident like that, that would explain exposure? Swollen lymph nodes, obviously a clinical sign. Don't always see the swollen lymph nodes. As I said, they can go to other parts of the body, or sometimes the worst cases are the lymph nodes, the swelling is actually interior and you don't see it. And that's when the horse really can get in trouble, because that swelling is pressing down on the trachea. And you don't see those lymph nodes, obviously, externally, to be able to access them and to potentially aspirate them.
Is there a definitive, like a swab test or something you can do? So you have a horse you go, well, he might have strangles. Let's find out right away rather than waiting 7 more days of exposure to find out.
Definitely. And that is one of the good things about strangles, is we have several ways to get a diagnosis. And that is very helpful. So there are 2 ways we can do it. We can do what's called a PCR or a culture. So basically we're going to get a sample of that pus, snot, whatever, and send it to a lab. And which you do, the PCR versus the culture, probably depends on where you're located, what lab, you know, what process your lab has access to. Either one is fine. And they're going to either try to grow or try to, in the lab, identify the Streptococcus equi organism. And they're very efficient at doing that. And so you can have an answer within 2 to 3 days.
That could be very useful, because you don't want to give it to everybody else. So
now go ahead.
You go ahead and you've discovered that your horse, a horse, has strangles. Is there a treatment protocol? Because I know there are a lot of varying opinions on whether or not to do anything about it besides isolate the animal. Is there a treatment protocol for strangles?
That's one of those, ask 10 people and you'll get 10 different answers. So,
there's
a set protocol. Yes. Here's my opinion. And certainly, everybody's veterinarian may have a different opinion, and that veterinarian's going to be looking at your individual circumstance. So what I say, you know, may or may not apply. But in my opinion, if I have a happy, healthy adult horse that gets strangles, obviously it's not a happy, healthy adult then, but you know, prior to it, there's no, other issues going on, then I will just let them ride it out and carry on until their body clears the organism, unless they have a guttural pouch infection. And we should talk about that in a minute. But if it's just some swollen lymph nodes, they're doing okay, there's no big crazy fevers, they're still eating, the animal's able to take care of himself, then I would let it ride its course. If it's a young animal, if it's a foal or a weanling type age, if the horse is having crazy, you know, 104, 105 fevers, if it's an older horse that maybe has some other health issues going on, then those horses I think you need to treat. Treatment is twofold. One, antibiotics, potassium or penicillin, be it potassium or procaine, are the antibiotics of choice. Sometimes trimethoprim sulfa will get it, but it's certainly not as strong or as effective as the penicillin. The second line of treatment is the guttural pouch, and we haven't talked about that yet, but
sounds lovely.
The infection can go to the yes. So the guttural pouch is that big, it's about the size of a grapefruit, and it's just a big air filled area in the horse's skull right underneath their ear, and there's one on each side under each ear, and strangles loves to hide there. And that's the problem, is it can hide there in what appears to be a happy, healthy horse, and then that horse can infect other horses. So that's when it gets really tricky, is you've got a horse that gives you no clinical signs of strangles, yet it's hiding in their guttural pouch, and they can infect other horses. So anyway, when you have a sick horse, you want to probably look in their guttural pouches and make sure they don't have any pus in there. If they do, then that's when it gets really nasty. You've got to get a scope in there, lavage it out, put some antibiotics directly into the guttural pouch and try to clear it that way.
And this is why we don't want it to spread, people.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to be the one with a horse with an infected guttural pouch.
And and it's tough. It's estimated if you have a strangles outbreak on a farm, at least half of the time, sometimes over half of the time, at least one horse is going to become a chronic asymptomatic carrier. So one of those horses that got exposed, they may or may have not have had clinical signs. They're going to have strep equi hiding in their guttural pouch for at least several weeks, if not months, and they are able to infect other horses. Now, they're not shedding the organism to the same degree as if they had snot pouring out of their nose. So it's not as contagious, but it's still got potential to be spread to other horses that way.
And you can't ask your horse to wash his hands either. So
I know.
This is a curiosity question. If you have a horse that has a compromised respiratory system to begin with, for example, a horse with minor seasonal allergies, or a horse that is perhaps going to be prone to heaves, is that horse going to be at higher risk for permanent damage if he gets strangled?
Not necessarily. Typically, strangles is going to affect those lymph nodes and not make it down to the lungs. Now, sometimes it does, and then, yes, those horses are going to be more predisposed to have some more scarring or potential long-term damage. But if it's just your run-of-the-mill, if you will, strangles case that affects the lymph nodes in the upper respiratory tract and the horse is able to clear those appropriately, then no, should not matter.
Cool. So the big $10,000 question is prevention and protocol when there is a horse in your barn that has been diagnosed with strangles.
Because that's about what it's going to save you on your vet bill. So that's... good question.
That's all he heard.
That's all I heard was save that $10,000 vet bill.
Oh, and that truly is a problem. It can just spread through a barn, and that does make it pretty scary. So protocol, if you have a positive horse, first thing, you want to get that horse isolated, obviously. And remember that all those nasal secretions are a potential source of infection for other horses. So no shared water buckets. Don't clean the animal up in the shared, water rack or whatever. You want to keep that horse as isolated as possible. The organism does not live in the environment very long, so that's good. We used to think that it did, but now we know it doesn't live on fence posts. It doesn't live in the ground per se.
Okay, now about 22 years ago, I would really have loved to have known that, because it would have saved us a lot of power washing of barns. Really. A lot.
Well, we would have all loved to know that 22 years ago, because what happened is you'd have no obvious strangles, and then it would just pop up in a horse. And so everyone thought, well, it's got to be somewhere in the environment, because
in fact, no new horses have come in.
Yeah, but exactly, it's that silent, asymptomatic carrier. And finding that horse is difficult and can be expensive. And the way to find that horse is to start scoping guttural pouches. And that is not an easy process. There's a bit of a finesse to get first of all, you've got to have an endoscope. And unless that's something that a veterinarian is doing every day, they may not have that piece of equipment. It's not necessarily considered a routine piece of equipment. So you've got to scope and look in the pouches. Even that's not enough. Sometimes it's obvious. So, there's a big pus pocket. Well, there it is. But sometimes it can be microscopic. So we lavage the guttural pouch, or we put some sterile fluid through it. We catch that fluid as it comes out of the nose and then test it, be it culture or PCR, for strangles. Now, and you could miss it on one test. So we recommend testing 2 to 3 times. So you can imagine the volume of testing, 100 horses on your farm with this complicated, intricate procedure 2 to 3 times. It's crazy. Yeah.
So for the purpose of prevention, in other words, you don't want strangles to come into your facility. You have a new horse come in. You have no idea where he's been, what he's been doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What is an appropriate amount of time to quarantine a new horse or quarantine a horse that has already been diagnosed?
Okay. A new horse that you have no reason to think they have strangles, a couple weeks should be ideal. You should see clinical signs within a couple weeks, unless they're one of those asymptomatic carriers that's going to harbor it for
months.
Well, then
you're just SOL.
Even years.
Yeah.
Exactly. Unless, now, some barns will require that you do a PCR, that you do that guttural pouch lavage, and get a sample and test it for strangles. Maybe not 3 of them, but at least 1, and have that be negative before they let a new horse come in. And we certainly have some barns around here that do require that. So that's a reasonable thing. If you're concerned, if you're in a high risk area, is have that horse. And by high risk, I mean, if you've got a horse that you know maybe was exposed in the past, you know they travel a lot, there's a lot of potential, is you can test that horse with the culture or PCR from their guttural pouch before you enter them into your general population.
Wow.
Now, I would say no matter what, though, isolate as best you can for a week or two, just not only for strangles, but for all the other potential things that a new horse could have.
Anybody up for some lunch?
And then what about a horse that's already been diagnosed? How long does he have to stay all by his little lonesome?
That is very variable. When I have a horse here and incidentally, at least in Kentucky, strangles is a reportable disease now. So when I have a horse that I know has strangles, I'm calling my state veterinarian to let them know. And the protocol that we typically have is that we want 3 negative guttural pouch samples after the resolution of clinical signs before we consider that horse to be disease free.
That could be weeks, couldn't it? Weeks and weeks.
Yes. Oh, yes. It could be months. I mean, literally, it could be months. Horses have been reported to carry this in their guttural pouch for several years, even. Now, that is not, wow, that's not the norm. So I don't want anybody to panic if they have a horse with strangles. It's usually not that extreme, but it is possible, and it is something you need to consider. Now, as far as prevention, there is also a vaccine, and you'll get quite a few opinions on the effectiveness of the vaccine also. And I find it to not be as effective as some vaccines, although certainly your veterinarian and your circumstance is going to be the best one to tell you if this vaccine is appropriate to give to your horses. I do warn people that if you have a strangles outbreak, be careful giving the vaccine after the horse has been exposed, because you can get another disease called purpura hemorrhagica, which is a reaction of the... Yeah, I don't know if you've had one of those. You may have had one of those if you've been dealing with that many strangled horses on a farm.
Yeah, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, add another comment to your vet bill.
That's something you definitely want to talk to your veterinarian on the vaccine protocol, especially if you've had an outbreak at the farm. Yeah.
Well, you've just caused half the people listening to this podcast to run out and get themselves some liquor because they're freaked out now. But thank you very much, Dr. Fraser, for explaining all of the facts and figures about strangles, because you don't hear about it as much as you used to. But
look, my husband and I are building a facility in Oklahoma. We're kind of in the process of designing it. And I just realized that I need to have like a quarantine area in my farm. You scared me to death. We need to have a separate pasture for the new horses.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, you know, instead of assuming it's a horse that's okay to go outside and there's not a reason they need to stay in, I think an outside paddock is the best place to put those horses, because the sun and the elements in the environment will kill the strep equi far faster than in the barn. So you might still be power washing your barn, but you know what I mean? If you put a horse out in a paddock and it turns out it does have strangles and there's snot and pus all over the fence post, the sun and the elements are going to help you get rid of that out of the environment pretty quickly.
Okay. Good to know. Well, thank you so much.
Poor Glenn had something clever to say and he was on mute.
Oh,
I said you're moving
God.
To Oklahoma, so the tornadoes will help too.
Yeah, yes. Great. Thank you. Put him back on mute, Jennifer. Dr. Frazier, thank you so much for calling in. And Haggard is the place you they can find you. It's haggard.com. And I think we have a little commercial for you that we're going to play after this. But Dr. Frazier, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Frazier, I think.
Giving Glenn a little weight loss this morning.
You know, lunch is not looking real good right now, I got to say.
I'm actually starving right now. Like, I'm hungry. It's made me hungry.
Thank you, Dr. Frazier. Always fun.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
You know, part of the reason we started these shows, and we know that this has happened because we've gotten feedback, is to entice people who are interested in horses in getting their first one. We should forbid them. We should have a disclaimer at the beginning of Wednesday's episodes that you should not, if you're looking at ever buying a horse, getting or listening to Wednesday's episodes. Because
but after you buy the horse, tune in.
Yeah.
Because you're screwed. You're stuck now.
God.
Might as well learn.
How many millions of things are there that could go wrong with a horse? A lot.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. We're going to be right back. You know, we got to change the mood. We've been talking about pus and nodules and stomach things and deteriorating bones and things this morning. That's Yahoo Groups, of all things. So we have to change the mood today. We're going to do a little Happy by Fleur Magaly right after this word from Haggard. And then we are changing. We're going to talk about somebody's new horse. And that's always more fun than strangles.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter, at Haggard, and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. Bring me down, can nothing bring me down? Your love is too high. Bring me down. Can nothing bring me down? I said, bring me down. Can nothing bring me down? Your love is too high. Bring me down. Can nothing bring me down? I said, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you you wanna do.
That's Fleur Magalie out of Switzerland. You can find all of her music at FleurMagalie.com. Well, we're
she's saying happy, but I'm not feeling happy.
I know it is kind of a slower
the first
version
one's like,
of happy. No, it's definitely not the same version. All right, let's do our daily winnies. We can make that happy. Well, my daily Winnie goes out. I haven't done this in a while. Goes out to everybody from all the countries around the world that have downloaded our Horse Radio Network app, our mobile app, right, in the last week. Are you ready?
You have to give me warning for these. I have to prepare my brain to like speak their language.
Okay. Well, you got a lot of languages here. This is in the last week. We have China. Still a lot of Chinese downloading. I don't think any of them are listening, but they're downloading. The USA, of course, Costa Rica, Australia. Okay. Can you speak Australian?
I might. Sure can, eh?
There you go. How about Canadian?
A? Mate? Yeah, that's both.
South African?
No, I can't speak South African.
No, that sounds a lot like you're Australian, actually. New Zealand?
No, it doesn't. They actually have a language in South Africa that I actually heard them speaking at Monty's place, and I was like, I don't even know what sounds you're uttering out of your
New Zealand, Japan, Sweden, the UAE. I think that Sheikh Mohammed keeping an eye on what we're saying about him.
Yep.
Italy, Australia, the UK, and Germany, all in the last week. So we welcome all of you. What we tell everybody that's a new listener to the show is give us a week or two to understand the craziness, and then you'll start to catch on and actually enjoy it. But you got to give us a week or two. That's what we tell everybody. And there's somebody that can back us up on that, and that is one of our terrific auditors. One of the segments we love to do on the show is to highlight listeners who have gotten a new horse, whatever it is, and find out about how they got it and what it is and what they plan to do with it. It's just one of the happy things that we do here on the Horses in the Morning show. And
So I have to say hello to her in German then, because we have new German listeners. Yes. So I would say, Hallo und thanks for the Beatrice Zun uns.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. I think for that butchered hello in German. Alexandra Ireland, who has the best name, a movie star name. Alexandra, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys this morning?
Terrific. Do you speak any other languages?
No.
Okay.
So I could really have said
absolutely
whatever.
Absolutely not.
So she believed you when you said all that in fake German. She bought
that. That was real. Yes. Google Translate told me.
Alexandra, what part
I
of the world do you live
Jamie
in?
Jamie says. I live in California.
Okay, cool. And they speak their own language out there, too. So, Alexandra, before we get started on your new horse, I got to ask you, do you shop at horselovers.com?
I do. Yes, I actually just went on and bought way too much stuff yesterday.
Oh, did you? Well, you know, they are a sponsor for this episode, and I was on there. They have a horse sale of all the horse products for up to 78% off today. And it's just like, I don't know how they sell this stuff and make any money. I really don't. I don't know how they stand.
Right? No kidding.
And
she has a new huge horse. She has to buy all sorts of
stuff. I was just
going to
ask you, what kind of things were you looking at?
Well, I actually picked up a couple of show shirts because I like to get the white ones really dirty. And I'm right in the middle of, you know, our 30-week show season here in California. But I don't have any blankets that fit him. So I was picking up some scrims and some coolers. Luckily for us, it's pretty hot here, but they've got a lot of great sales. So I'm kind of prepping for fall too.
Well, you know, that is one of the cool things. If you keep an eye on their website every day, you're gonna find almost anything you want. Something's going to be on sale at some point. And even their regular prices are less than most companies. So I'm so glad to hear that you're shopping with them. I know a lot of our listeners do. And I know all of us hosts do. And I know I see Jennifer on there every day. And it's so funny because when I walk over to her office, all of a sudden that window's getting closed quick.
She closed the laptop.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I can tell when she's shopping.
Did you guys know that? Did you know that it links to your Amazon payment account too. Do you know how dangerous that is?
Oh my God. Horse Lovers takes PayPal. I just click it. It's awful.
Because PayPal is not real money. It really
is. It's
isn't.
Not real money. No.
It's never been real money since
it's
eBay
like Monopoly
days.
Money.
It is. Yeah. It is. You know what's funny is I think about it that way. We have a couple of our advertisers that pay us on PayPal, and I use that for the dumbest stuff because it's not like real money. It's you're right about that. Well, if you have some not real money in PayPal, head on over to horselovers.com. They will take it. They will take your not real money, and they're going to send you real stuff, and it's really
that's
good
horselovers
stuff.
With a z.com. Now, Alexandra, Ursal uns von dinem nun preferred. I just said, tell us about your new
no
horse.
No comprende.
Chad's in the room.
So my new horse.
Yes.
My new horse's name is Tenesse Rouge because when they wanted to give him an amazing American name in France, and they couldn't spell Tennessee. So
are you serious? His name is Tenesse.
It ended up being Tenesse. Yes.
Spelled Tennessee wrong.
Yes. And when the agent went to pick him up, they kept calling him Tennessee Rouge, but the papers do not say Tennessee.
Well, you know what? Most people in Tennessee can't spell it either. So there's that.
Right. So I kind of bought him on accident, to be honest.
Oh, tell us.
He was brought over about 5 months ago from just outside of Paris. For Tony McIntosh, who is a New Zealander that has a business over here, and he was meant to be her Grand Prix horse for show jumping. And she got hurt right before the thermal circuit started, and so she was unable to ride him. And my trainer ended up picking up the ride, and I went to the Sonoma Horse Show here in the Napa Valley, and he was there. And it kind of just the conversation started, and I wasn't even looking for a horse, and somehow I ended up with one.
Wow. Now, tell us what he is, because I am unfamiliar with a Zanzibar, but it sounds very cool. So
I actually got that wrong. So he is a Zanzerscheid, and it's actually his dad is a Zanzerscheid, and it is a specific stud foot that comes from Belgium, and it's just like really top quality show jumping horses. I had never heard of it before either. So he's actually Philip Francais, and then his dad is in the Zanzerscheid book, which I guess is a big deal, but I don't follow breeding a lot.
Who cares when he's a big, beautiful gelding? Now, he is not small.
No, he's actually smaller than my gray horse. He's 17 two hands, and then my other one is 18 hands, so I'm pretty used to him. Whoa. That big.
He's a pony compared.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's 10 years old. What do you call him? Do you call him Rouge? Do you call him Tenesse? Do you call him Giant Zanzi Shield Horse? What do you call him?
Pretty pony. We call him Rouge.
Rouge.
We call him Rouge.
How tall are you, Alexandra?
I'm 5'4".
Oh,
so I consider it's like the equivalent when the really short guy gets the big truck. This, I think I have that problem with horses.
You're compensating, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm compensating.
I drive a Dodge 3500 dually. So I gotcha. I'm the short girl with the big truck. I just have small horses. So what are you showing him in? What's the plan?
So he was, we purchased him because I really want to step into the Grand Prix ring, but I've never done anything like that before. So he is going to be my professor and help me move up the levels. So right now we're going to go to Sonoma this next week again to that show, and I will start in the meter 10s, and then we'll just keep working our way up till we get there.
So the goal is
our first Grand Prix by October.
I can't wait to follow along. This is going to be so exciting. You have a goal. You're making
so
it happen. You're working for it. That's awesome, Alexandra. How cool.
Thank you.
And so let's see. Sorry, go ahead. It should be what?
Oh, I was just going to say it should be fun. I've had to step up my gym routine because it's a lot more work than it looks like. You know, those guys make it look so easy, but I go home and I'm so sore every day.
Well, I got to tell you, Jamie, I saw a video of her, two videos of her actually jumping, and forget the horse. She's a good rider. Alexandra is a good, quiet rider, and I really enjoyed watching you ride.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was a lot of years of big misses and not quiet riding.
Well, that happens. It's That's how y'all get there, right?
Well, it's like, you know, we were talking about Jessica Springsteen and all the comments of like, oh, she only got that way because her dad's Bruce. I'm like, no. Because your daddy's Bruce Springsteen does not make you a good show jumper. It is gritty hard work and determination. And obviously you have that, and good luck on all your goals. I'm so excited to follow along, and thank you so much for being an auditor. And we just love you. I love, if you guys aren't auditors, go to the Facebook page. You get all these sneak previews of all the new people's horses. It's awesome.
Well, thank you, Alexandra. We really
great.
Appreciate
thank you. Thank
you
so much, guys.
Take care. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
So cool when they get new horses. There's like five new horses this weekend there, too. We'll have some more of these coming up because there's so many auditors with new horses. Well, and this one is.
And I was also shocked, too. I posted something in the auditor's room like, hey, let's hear about all you people that have ponies. Holy crap. Everybody has a pony.
I know.
Like
100
comments on that.
I thought it was just me and Scooter. There's a lot of people with ponies. I was surprised. And you know, they all look so angelic in the pictures, those ponies.
Oh, sweet little babies. So I told you the vet said we need to like get magic to work. You know, she just needs to start working. So I've been ponying her, and I've done a couple miles here and there. We did 5 miles yesterday. And like, she's getting, I think she felt a lot better. We went to the farm fields and I was riding Zeus and ponying Magic, and I've now got a surcingle on her and all that. So we're ponying around the field and she just like was bucking next to me and going crazy. And she was like exuberant, and we were pretty far from home. So I'm like, girl, you better save that energy. You better save that energy. And then last mile and a half.
Dragging
I'm like, come off. My shoulder hurts. My neck hurts. My back hurts. I'm like, you need to learn to save your energy because I don't want to drag you.
Yeah. Welcome to pony world. That ain't happening. All right. Well, you know what? We didn't do your daily Winnie yet. Do you have one?
Yes.
Okay.
My daily Winnie goes out to Horsey McHorseface. Horsey McHorseface. That's an actual horse that somebody named in Australia, and he is becoming the people's horse in Australia. His name is Horsey McHorseface. Somebody in the auditor's room, actually speaking of, said Lucas obviously named him.
Yeah, obviously.
Because of Precious Magic Gala Jennings. And Lucas named somebody else's horse in the auditor's room Eggplant. So he's really talented, but he is not responsible for this. This horse is owned by Joe Rossetti, and the trainer is Bjorn Baker, and they are in Australia. And he was apparently named by Baker's team at Sydney Warwick Farm Racecourse. And Horsey McHorseface has run 3 times, never got the front, and just won his first race.
Oh, wow.
So, yay. Congratulations, Horsey McHorseface.
Broke his maiden. Her maiden.
Broke his maiden.
His maiden. Okay, good. That's funny. Do you want, you want to talk about, do we care, by the way?
Yes, we care, because I did a lot of research because you told me you didn't care. And so I'm like, I'm going to talk about it.
All right, go
it's
ahead.
A Belmont Stakes time. Belmont Stakes.
There was no cool jingle I could play. See, that was.
Well, I was just happy you couldn't play the horsey weird guy.
Yeah.
Pegasus. Said. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a real quick rundown, because the Belmont Stakes is still a huge stakes race and all the big horses are running in it. including Classic Empire. And if you guys remember, he was the favorite in the Derby and the Preakness. In the Derby, he got a really bad break, was creamed at the beginning, came back to fourth. And then he came up and won, got second in the Preakness. And they kind of went on to say later on that the jockey and the horse did not see cloud computing coming up. So they are hoping to take this one, but he's running all three. He is a brother to American Pharoah, so a horse with that staying power is in his bloodlines. He's a son of a pioneer of the Nile. Irish War Cry. The jockey is Rajiv Marah, and Rajiv Marah is starting to rival Mike Smith in my dislike of jockeys. I just don't think he breaks, and I would hate to be the jockey next to him. I'll just say that, because he seems to not be awesome. And I know he had a big injury, and I know he's made a comeback, and I know it's very exciting, but the way that he rode Mucho Macho Man and that kind of group back then, he still continues to have, he's just not my favorite. Anyway, doesn't have anything to do with Irish War Cry. I think he's going to be the second favorite. Seven horses bred in New Jersey have won the Belmont Stakes. Irish War Cry is bred in New Jersey, but no horse bred in New Jersey has won the Belmont Stakes since 1913. That's Prince Eugene. Then we've got Senior Investment. He settled near the back of the field and made a sustained late run in earlier race in the Preakness. And so he's at 9-2 right now. Epicaris is a Japanese horse that comes to the Belmont with 4 wins out of 5 starts. Taprit, son of Tapit. Jose Ortiz is the jockey. Todd Pletcher is the trainer. He was 6th in the Derby, but he's also got creamed along with Classic Empire. And when Irish War Cry veered out sharply from the gate. Shocker. That's Rajiv Marah's horse. Looking at Lee, 2nd in the Derby. He is he's joining Classic Empire as the only 3-year-old to be in all 3 Triple Crown races this year. He kind of settles at the back of the pack and then closes at the end really hard. Multiplier, nobody in his entire pedigree has ever, they're all sprinters. Meantime, we got Mike Smith. And he's at 18-1. Meantime is lightly raced, but they're saying he's pretty talented. Yeah, Meantime.
Okay, got it.
Meantime. Shackelford is his daddy. So and Shackelford won the Preakness, but that's a shorter race. Twisted Tom, trainer Chad Brown. And actually, Chad Brown, you know, he had Cloud Computing, and Cloud Computing won the Preakness. But when it came time to look, he goes, Twisted Tom is way better set up for this distance. So he has 3 consecutive wins. Twisted Tom does, and he's the trainer of Cloud Computing. So, and I really like him. I got to meet him. He's really nice. Gormley, you just can't put him out. I saw him win the Santa Anita Derby, and he was my pick for the Derby, the Kentucky Derby, but simply because his jockey is Victor Espinosa, his trainer is John Sheriffs, and his owners are Jerry and Ann Moss. Those were the owners of Zenyatta. So trainer of Zenyatta, owners of Zenyatta, and then my favorite jockey of all time, Victor Espinosa. So maybe not of all time, but one of my favorites. Any comment on that? Do you have any comment? You haven't said a word.
I'm just listening. I really did no research at all. So I'm listening because you're telling me to. I did no research.
Okay. J-Boy's Echo. And they haven't done post positions, by the way. So these can always change, of course. I just picked kind of the ones that are most likely going to be in. J-Boy's Echo is at 25-1 right now. That's Robbie Alvarado was J-Boy Echo's regular jockey, but he missed the Derby due to an injury. And so he's back aboard J-Boy's Echo for the Belmont. And he's come in 2nd twice. It was Curlin's jockey in 2007. He's run in it 5 times, so he really wants to win. Now, everybody, when I say this name, I want you to go, oh, Jennifer, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, so the next horse I'm going to talk about is Patch. Oh, bless his heart. Patch is the one-eyed horse.
We built the most.
Oh, sorry. Commercials popping up on website. Oh. You can't go to a racing website without video commercials popping up.
I know. Patch is currently at 25-1, and He actually has a new jockey. If you recall, Always Dreaming won the Derby this year with the jockey John Velasquez. Well, John Velasquez is going to ride Patch this year. And he's kind of always kind of up by the front. And his pedigree, his sire is Union Rags. And so his pedigree is probably one of the best for this type of distance. So Patch is looking pretty good as long as he doesn't draw the dang outside post again. Getting 20, a horse that's missing its left eye got the 20 post in the Derby. Give me a break. I think this is Patch's time. Hollywood Handsome, jockey Florent Giroux, trainer Dallas Stewart. I don't know much about him, nor do I know anything about True Timber, who may or may not actually contest the Belmont as well. So see, if you get to know a little bit and you do a little research, it's all of a sudden interesting, isn't it?
It is. And I was just sitting here doing my scientific research on the names and deciding which ones I was going to pick on Friday.
Okay, well, the post time is 6:37 Eastern, and that's the race Saturday, will probably right? start around 6:50 on Saturday. Yeah, yeah. So that is the Belmont.
Well,
so do you have, who's your pick then?
Ooh, I'm not saying till Friday. I have to do massive, copious amounts of research here because it's so hard to look at this list because there's some fun names. Irish War Cry. Looking at Lee, Patch, of course, is the emotional favorite. Senior Investment is to be the one I should pick to win because I'm kind of getting there.
yeah, but you don't have anything to invest.
That's true. That's the problem with that. I think maybe if I bet on Senior Investment, I would have a retirement plan. Twisted Tom, because I've known a couple Toms that have been twisted, actually. So there's that. Classic Empire is just classic. Yeah, that'd be like the classic pick. There's so many good names in this one. Hollywood Handsome, that's a good name too.
Yeah.
And we all know how well I do. I actually do pretty good with my naming strategy.
All right, so what's your pick?
I'm not picking until Friday. I'm going to tell you on Friday. I have a pick.
Oh, I'm sneaky. Out. So we're holding out. All right, well, I've got my picks, but I'll hold out too.
All right. All right, Jennifer, you have to take a look using your scientific method what you're going to pick.
Her scientific method is...
I will pick out the three horses who will not be in the money.
That's right, you'll lose.
Exactly. Although you did get cloud computing. You did count for that one. So your streak is broken, Jennifer. You actually won one.
Well, I didn't tell you, speaking of betting, that I did go to the casino one night on the cruise. And I ended up, I thought about you because I played blackjack. And actually, I was shocked. There's 6,000 people on that boat. And the blackjack table was just me and two other people from Florida. And we played for a couple hours. I started out with like $100, put $100 down, and I walked away doubling my money. Actually, I got more than that. I was more than that. And I said, okay, when I get back to doubling my money, which I knew I eventually would, I'm going to quit. And you know as well as I do, because we have the same personality when it comes to playing blackjack, that I got back to like the $200 mark, and it is so hard to walk away.
Oh,
it is so hard. Why is it that hard?
Do you want to know my system?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to know my system? Okay. So I play with Chad, and I taught him how to play. And so we will sit down and play blackjack. And I have my money and he has his money. And so when he runs out of money, he'll start taking money from me. And so we have these, it's all chips. Well, I always have about 7 or 8 of the chips in front of me. Once I run out of those chips, we leave the table. He's already busted out. He's like, oh man, that sucked. Well, we played for a couple hours. I guess we got a couple free drinks. And he's like, too bad we didn't win any money. And this happens every single time we have left the blackjack table, is I'll say, okay, I just got to go cash out real quick. And he's like, what do you mean cash out? What did you do? Because what I do is, as I start to get too many chips on the table, I know he's going to grab them and spend them. So I start putting them in my pockets. And he calls it chipmunking. He calls it chipmunking.
Oh, that's funny.
So I'll go to the betting window with like 40 chips in my pockets. And because I know that if they're on the table, one of us will spend them. But if I just, I'm like, I'm a little up. Let me get back to like, if I start with $100 and I've got 110, I'll take that 10, put it in my pocket, put it in my pocket, put it in my pocket. And then so it is inevitably every single time. There's going to be one time where I'm going to be like, okay, well, let's go. And he's going to go, okay, betting window. And I'm going to be like, nope. But so far, I mean, whether I start with 100 and I walk away with 40, he's at least happy that we have something. But most of the time I'll walk away with like $300-$400. He's like, oh, how did you do that? I'm like, because if it's not there, like I'll double it. I'll triple my bet. And then he loses. So I'm like, you can't do that. You have to just
And you're like me. I mean, we would be bad together, to be honest.
Oh, God.
We would be awful because we'd like enable each other. But you're like me. I like just playing. And I was with two great people from Florida. They were a lot of fun. This woman beside me had diamond rings in her ears and her nose and on top of her head. I mean, she had more jewelry on than I've seen in a long time. And she probably had $3,000 worth of chips sitting out there. She had a lot of the black ones. And what are the black ones? Are they hundreds or thousands or something? Yeah, hundreds. She had a lot of those. And then she had whatever one that is above the black one, she had a lot of those too. And she had to cash them in on occasion. But it was just fun. And the fact that I wasn't losing and didn't walk away broke made it even more fun. But I did walk away. I was in for about 2 hours. And after a while, the smoke in the casinos gets to me anyway. So that is the one thing that kind of drives me out.
Well, Glenn, the good news is you and I are going to see each other in, Scottsdale next weekend? Yeah. There are lots of casinos.
Oh, really?
In Arizona. So we may have to. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know why Glenn and I both got sick.
Jennifer's still on here.
We couldn't make the dinner and the award ceremony. I don't know what happened. Why do you smell like cigarettes and beer? I don't know.
That's the one saving grace for Glenn is casinos almost universally allow smoking. So I know that's going to limit the amount of time he's willing to sit there.
That or that's you'll bust him. Whereas most women will go, you smell like another woman's perfume. You're like, you smell like a casino.
Yes.
Where have you been?
Well, let's see here. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, because this is something you're going to want to plan for, and if you're going to be looking at spending some travel money this summer, this is what you have to do. Tryon, you want to go to Tryon. Everybody knows about Tryon. We've been talking about Tryon, right? You want to go to North Carolina from July 1st to the 22nd, because they are doing the first ever organized hobby horse competition in the United States. Is coming to Tryon.
I'm sorry, did you say that's the 4th through the 22nd?
The 1st through the 22nd. Competitive hobby horsing originated in Finland has gained popularity as one of the newest forms of equestrian sport with more than 10,000 active participants.
And so you're telling me that this is a 22-day hobby horse show?
I think they're just incorporating it into their regular show with occasional divisions is what I get out of that. It says each division will have a different classes of competition based on the height of the fences. The riders, they're not riders. Can we just call them jumpers? They're not riding anything. We'll jump
bless
over.
Their heart. That's what you say. You say they're not riders. Bless their heart. Because clearly they would like a pony.
Right. Fence height will range from 6 inches to 3 feet. Okay, you better be tiny to be jumping 6 inches, because that's not
I could jump 6 inches.
There will be an open division high jump competition for all riders. So there you go. It's coming to Tryon. You can find more information.
Who's it? Stephanie that's going to live down there? Stephanie, get your hobby horse out.
Yep.
Get ready.
Get over there with your hobby horse. Now, you do have to jump with it between your legs. So that's something.
That is a challenge.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. Mary Kitzmiller will be here tomorrow answering your questions about training horses, as always. And then Jamie will be back on Friday. Jennifer needs some ads, so get over to Craigslist and send your ads in. We have some tremendous prizes this month, so you're going to want to make sure that you get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com before the end of the day on Thursday. So we can get you included. We love when you read them. A lot more people have been reading them. It's been a lot of fun for us. It makes us work, it's Friday. We don't want to work that hard. So you guys can do our job for us. We love that. And besides, most of you are funnier than we are anyway. Breaking news. Breaking news. Classic Empire is out of the Belmont Stakes.
What?
Oh.
Classic Empire is out of the Belmont Stakes, according to reports from Alicia Hughes of the Blood Horse. The colt developed an abscess in his right front foot overnight and will keep him from entering.
Oh.
And a thank you to Amanda Kramer, who sent that over to me just
Spoiler
now.
Spoiler alert. That was my pick. In my
trifecta. Well, look at it this way. You have something to think about for the next couple of days because...
Well, that's what I wanted.
You know, those damn abscesses. The abscesses are the bane of any competitor because they just pop out. We all get them and they all pop out at the wrong time 2 days before a show. Ugh.
I'm shocked right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry to break it to you, but I didn't want you thinking all through Friday that you had the pick.
You didn't want me to embarrass myself.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Amanda. All right, thanks, everybody. We'll see you all tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning.
All right, spay, neuter, geld.